Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome back. It is Ringside View, the wrestling podcast with the best seat in the house.
Ever.
I am Noah.
Drew.
And Noah, we are the hosts of Ringside View Wrestling Podcast. And I'm sorry, listeners, let's just cut the fucking bullshit right now. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, if you are one of two types of people, this podcast is going to greatly appeal. If you're any person, every podcast we ever do is going to greatly appeal to you. But specifically tonight, folks, if you saw the Royal Rumble pay-per-view network event and thought one of two ways, tonight's the show for you. One, you were appalled, angry, or generally bewildered, disgusted as well. One of those options. At the booking of the Rumble match itself and or the outcome for one of various reasons. Or side two, you are angry, bewildered, disgusted, if you will, at the fans who are angry, bewildered, or disgusted by their reaction to the Royal Rumble. So either you did not like the Royal Rumble or you do not like the people who did not like the Royal Rumble. But either way, folks, tonight we're going to get to the bottom of it because you guessed it, what we're talking about in spades.
What is it?
The Royal Rumble.
Really?
Yes, the Royal Rumble. So we're going to talk about that in depth tonight. We're going to be fielding your calls, as always. You can always give a call in on the show. You know that number. Let's say it out loud with me here. It's going to eventually be on a T-shirt. 602-753-1764. So, excuse me, folks.
Melvin's back.
Melvin is back. Melvin, how you doing?
Not right now, dude.
All right, cool.
Not right now, Melvin.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotion in the studio. Melvin also watched the Royal Rumble with us. It was a hell of a thing. The drinking game was played. You know how it goes, folks.
Let's not talk about how Melvin felt about the Royal Rumble.
I'm curious. I have no idea how he felt.
You want to know what you're asking?
Normally, I wouldn't do this at all. We don't even speak to Melvin. I let you do that because he just irritates the sound of whatever he makes. It irritates me. But because it is the aftermath of the Rumble episode, and we're going to be talking about everybody's grievances here, folks, all sides of it, I want to hear this answer or from you, whatever is going to happen here. Melvin, how did you feel about the Royal Rumble match, in particular, the finish?
You fucking would.
What? What did he say?
How can you call yourself a wrestling fan, Melvin, if you're all, you're just like, Roman Reigns, rain on over me. Roman Reigns, would you rain all over me?
There's a new reference with some sex in there, too. Yeah, keep going.
He fucking loved it. He loved it.
Okay, so he loved the finish of that match.
He thought the way they handled the closing of the Royal Rumble was very artistic and revelating of what it could have been.
Word.
That's what he said. Did you hear?
No.
All right.
I never do. I'm past this.
His intellect is above your head, Noah.
Apparently, there's some stuff going on there. I don't know. Apparently, our listeners got back to me. They, too, understand Melvin. So, it's just me. I'm sorry, folks. I apologize. I'm alone in this universe.
So, he says, they're reveling in how it's just, you know, showing that there's, it could go two ways, he said. It could go one way where he liked the way that they threw everybody out of the Rumble. you know, Big Show and Kane.
It's dumb for everybody. You don't have to understand that, okay?
Yeah. He's like, that's artistic. It's an expression. You know, it's so good. So it adds to the, what is the soap opera of WWE?
Okay. And
he says he wish they wouldn't have done Dolph Ziggler, but hey, great story. I disagree, bitch.
All right.
Then he said,
what else did he say?
The revelation that Roman Reigns is the next wrestling, if you said this,
the next wrestling god. Oh, he's that word. Okay, so basically, you got all that from that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so don't get it. But good to know that some love and some. There's a lot of emotions flying high here at the Ringside View Studios, which, you know, I'll just call it out, is Ringside View, you know? We view the ring of your consciousness, and that's what we're also here to talk about. Because we want, one thing I want to talk about later, once we break down the Rumble match, is something that you can see, because it happened at the Rumble that just passed, it happened at the Pittsburgh Rumble, and it happened at certain events in different swings. It's largely known that the Raw after Mania, the crowd is as fervent as it is at the last two Royal Rumbles, but in a positive sense. You know what I mean? So I want to talk about literally that crowd mentality, how it affects live crowds, how easy it is for the crowd to gang up on one thing or another, and then for how easy it is for the internet, for both sides of the argument, to kind of gang up. And it's snowball effects, I think, if you will. So we'll talk about that too. And speaking of snowballs, segue, we're going to talk about the blizzard that didn't quite happen and the Raw that almost wasn't. But it was, and it turned into, first of all, without a doubt, the most unique Raw that they've ever presented.
Even Vince McMahon was producing segments up on the
Raw. He had to. And those segments, those interview segments, were some of the best that they've done in a long time, and I think it shows that, you know, what works. And we'll talk about the backlash from the Rumble, how it affected the network or didn't affect the network, theories about that, news, sports, and we'll get pretty much it's Rumble and Raw heavy with some shows going on, folks. And we got some news going to be coming up, some interesting little bits, just nothing too dark in compared to your reaction to the Rumble, but we'll talk all about that. And we want to hear from you because Melvin's moderating the live chat. So join us in the live chat and let's get that thing going. Just call into the show. It's Ringside View. We're going to shoot the commercial. And we'll be right back. Ringside View Wrestling Podcast. That's it now.
Hello. This is Fernando Escuela, here to tell you once again about a product from the Escuela Preparation Company. We know that you care deeply, deeply for your loved ones, for your family, for your friends, for your pets, for your children, for your parents, for your neighbors, for your cousins, for your aunts, and for your uncles. We know that you want to protect them from any harm. That is why the Escuela Preparation Company is proud to offer you the Fernandome, a 600-foot glass dome to protect you, your family, and the surrounding five houses from complete annihilation. Keep those pesky zombies out of your home. Stop that virus from spreading to the ones that you love. When the robot aliens come from the planet Kratopto to enslave us all, they will not enslave you. They will not enslave your children. They will not enslave your pet, Fido. For you were wise enough, smart enough, and handsome enough to purchase the Fernandome from the Escuela Preparation Company.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is Becky, and I'm here to tell you something.
I'm freaking awesome.
Yeah, and besides that, I'm opening a beauty salon.
It's gonna be freaking wicked.
Yeah, I cut hair and do nails and, like, do tans and shit, so come on down.
What, you
what,
know it, you know it,
so hot.
So
you
want
to get, like, the coolest shit ever, hit me up on Twitter. It's at Becky Bitches.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's,
oh
so,
my God,
hot.
It's so hot.
Becky,
yeah,
awesome.
Welcome back to Ringside View. Thank you to our sponsors, Fernando and Becky.
I bet that Becky chick's hot.
You know what? I bet she is, too. I bet she's, maybe she is, maybe she isn't.
I think she's a 10, man.
You know what? I haven't gone to the salon yet. Maybe it's because she didn't put an address in there. But, hey, I'll, you know, we'll bring
you
more.
Really
that's
gives,
part of our
she really gives you no reference, except that she pays us to put the commercial on.
She does. Well, too. Well, she's funding a new PSA, which should be coming out in the next couple of weeks. I was working with the Boston Philharmonic.
What state is she out of?
I don't know.
Do we even know anything?
PayPal.
What kind of hair services does she do at her salon?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm sure we'll track it down. You know, she has a Twitter handle.
All I heard was Becky Bitches.
It's at Becky Bitches. Because that's the only, that's how, you know, that's her only frame of reference there. It's just Becky.
So you have to tweet her to get her to do your hair.
I don't know. Yes. I'm not Becky. I don't know. So I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be inside Becky's head or inside Becky.
Cave.
So
the Bat Cave of hair salon.
The Bat Cave.
The Bat Cave.
There you go. Pun with our sponsors. But thank you for coming back to Ringside View. We know you missed us, and we missed you too. So we got some news items to talk about. Two big ones, that's it, before we get into Rumble-oriented shit. First one, Justin Gabriel is gone, dude.
Justin Gabriel quit.
Nexus, NXT, Superstars, relegated, to main event in NXT, if you would.
I think it's his fault.
Reports coming out, just hearsay, said that the last straw was him realizing he was going to get pulled from the Rumble match. And then
well,
it cut right there.
What I have to say about that is Justin Gabriel tried very hard when he was there. When he was in the ring. You know, almost had that Evan Bourne status.
Yeah, different.
You know, when I say almost is because even though he was part of probably a bigger storyline than Evan Bourne ever was with the whole Nexus faction,
yeah.
He still never achieved that
level.
No. World Warrior title.
I don't think he was tag team champion.
I know he was relevant in some sort of feud. A couple of them. Actually.
He had a good feud with Mark Henry and early. I don't know if he ever
hit the RKO.
Yeah, well, that's one of the highlights of Monday Night Raw. Evan Bourne, but Justin Gabriel, who we're talking about, and Nexus
never really stood out other than it was really good in the ring. You know, like it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, they didn't do too much with him. So best of luck.
They tried. Come on, dude. He can't say he was getting buried. I mean, I can't say that he wasn't getting buried. But let's look at it this way. They put him on freaking Total Divas to try to give him some relevance. You know what I mean?
Did you watch anything
with him on Total Divas? I know you're not really a Total Divas guy, and I haven't really.
Not really. No, I mean that's
they set a standard for him on Total Divas that he was kind of playing this one girl.
Okay.
And it kind of made him out to be a douche.
Did it?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I don't know if they
were. I didn't know he was even on
that. But it was like he slept with one of the new divas in that show.
Yeah.
And didn't want anything like relationship-wise with her, you know. Like, and he was pretty spoken about it.
Interesting.
Like,
well, I know.
I don't know if they scripted it that way.
Of course,
I'm
sure.
Well,
you know, if anyone's buried, it's on purpose. Remember that. No one gets buried by accident.
You know, it could have been a thing. Maybe that
not in a billion-dollar. Not in a billion-dollar company.
Maybe that actually happened, and like Steph was there, who was in charge of the divas and that entire show, and sitting there like, we should probably air this to show people how much of a douche he is.
Well, there you go. Well, it all depends on who, you know, Vince said it best in the Austin interview. Don't piss anybody off. Vince and people, one of them really pissed off. But he'll be wrestling on the indie scene as PJ Black, right? The name he wrestled before, it was Justin Gabriel. He's gone back to it, so he'll show up in Ring of Honor and do the rounds. Same rounds that Evan Bourne did and Alberto Del Rio is doing. Drew McIntyre is doing something interesting, though, because instead of going to Ring of Honor... Damn sure he'll be back though because he's not doing the TNA Ring of Honor Lucha Underground shtick that he's doing. He went Dragon Gate and evolved wrestling in Europe. So he took a different path. He'll stay. Oddly enough, I still feel that those are more Northeast relevant to WWE than Ring of Honor is, because they seem to recruit more out of Dragon Gate these days. And the other promotions than they do directly out of
ROH. To be honest, Drew McIntyre got buried for being too nice.
Yeah, I guess that's play. But he'll be back Monday. He'll come. He has to come in with a different shtick. They have to forget about him, and when they come in, the first thing he has to do is remind them of anything else other than that incident. McIntyre will be fine. The other, good luck to Justin Gabriel, the other news bit that I wanted to tell you and tell the audience, and this is a nice little bit, is that there was a formal restriction that prohibited Jeff Jarrett from negotiating with Spike TV in any regards, because of his release from TNA and the terms of it, right? And TNA's terms of Spike TV, he could not negotiate with them. That has run up. So now Global Force Wrestling is, now Spike TV hasn't really expressed interest in any wrestling product, but Global Force Wrestling is now free, and it was a press release, no less, put out to negotiate with Spike TV. So think about that.
And will Spike do it, though?
I don't know. It depends on what they're doing. I mean, right now on AXS TV, I guess is what it is, formerly HDNet channel, the New Japan Americanized show has been running for a couple of shows now, and it's getting good reviews. I'm not sure about the ratings, but Impact just drew 500,000 people to the show, which is the best numbers it's gotten in a long time. And, you know, you got Lucha Underground's doing pretty good, too. So
I've never watched any of those.
I mean, TNA had a solid million viewers every week on Spike TV before Spike TV started to fuck with it, and TNA started to not really care about it either. And I think that's a big audience that you miss. So I think that idea there that TNA doesn't like Dixie Carter and Vince Russo, maybe they'll take Jeff Jarrett back, that's a hell of a platform.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the best channel besides USA that our wrestling program is on. I think Spike TV is a better program for wrestling than Sci-Fi. So you just got to present something different. And in that instance, what does GFW do? Do you put more other people's shows on? Do you try to put a show together? Do you blend it?
Well, he said he's eventually going to have a standalone promotion.
Yeah.
That's his plan, right? I, for one, could see him just trying to buy the current standing promotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he's got enough money, what's to say he can't buy Ring of Honor?
That's not, because a broadcast, Sinclair Broadcasting actually owns Ring of Honor now. They're a TV channel. So it's like, instead of just buying a company, you're buying a television property now with Ring of Honor. I still think that's why a lot of people haven't approached that, because Ring of Honor is just right for a bigger promotion, right? Take it and add some money to it, and there you go. You got a product that can compete with at least TNA, if not WWE, down the road, or at least in some regard. But because it's owned by a TV station now, and the TV station's like, we're going to produce this for our markets to have on our show, right? Why stretch it too much further than that? Why would they have an interest in having a show that's eventually big enough to air on another station, right?
Yeah.
So that's why Sinclair, it's like a catch-22 for Ring of Honor. So, enter Jeff Jarrett.
What channel are they on?
Well, it's all Sinclair Broadcasting, so it's syndicated television. So, the pairs in the Pittsburgh area, they're on channel CW, whatever the CW is. CW is the Sinclair Broadcasting.
What if they picked up GFW on Sinclair and then used Ring of Honor as, like, almost like a farm room for...
They would immediately trying to reestablish a hierarchy in wrestling. I don't know if that would do what we wanted to, because I think no matter what GFW does, it's going to have a higher perceived status in the wrestling, especially at IWC, because it's who's associated with Jeff Jarrett when he started TNA, and it was what it was, and you know who Jeff Jarrett is, so why not? But I think if you do that, all that would do is hurt Ring of Honor.
I can agree with that.
Here's the thing that worries me about doing. Jeff Jarrett has expressed ideas also in looking at other mediums.
It's
that
a win-win.
On television.
It's a win-win though for Sinclair to do it that way. Think about it.
I don't know.
Because even if it's one of those things where it just starts pulling business from Ring of Honor, it's just putting business in the GFW, then you gain it back. And then you can Sinclair can even put GFW on the CW.
Well, still, I mean, you're still looking that now you're also, as GFW, you're pigeonholing yourself into the CW's market. That's it. That's absolutely, and you're not, with all the teen dramas that are on that network, you're not going to be able to get a primetime slot unless you are absolutely.
Era.
Yeah, right? I'm still, dude, all that shit. Not the point. We're not talking about network TV. But I don't think that's the right channel. I think you want cable. To allow yourself also to push boundaries. Ring of Honor doesn't have to worry about it because they're a clean in-ring promotion. I mean, a hardcore match is literally the most it gets, and there's very rarely ever blood. So they're just fine to have on a network that doesn't have the same standards Spike TV would have. So if GFW, let's say, one time wanted to make a big deal where they present a hardcore event, they can on Spike TV. Sure, they even be encouraged in some respect. So that's an option, I guess, now. So we're saying for the future of wrestling is that GFW may show up on Spike TV. I mean, right now, I mean, it's
AMC.
It's interesting because the WWE Network, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, has now hit 1 million subscribers.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations to them. I mean, that will be a big hot button here in a few minutes. But just generally that, it has now become more interesting that the WWE Network has more pure wrestling demographic capability, viewers-wise, than the entirety of Destination America. That if everyone that has a WWE Network watched a show.
Oh, fuck Dixon Carter.
They have the access to 1 million people. Destination America, I think I read four times. They peaked 1 million in the prime time hour. 1 million.
Yes.
So think about that. So now NXT is almost on a more widely available than TNA. So it's something to consider.
I haven't given up my subscription since day one.
No. And then we'll talk about those who perhaps considered canceling their subscription.
WWE. If you're listening. Mr. McMahon,
oh,
big fan.
Yeah.
But if you are out there listening to this show, I have one suggestion. Mm. Whenever I hit the pay-per-view and I want to play from the beginning, can you please have it actually play from the beginning?
Yeah,
and if I hit,
an issue.
You should put an option in there for resume from last point or something of that sort. I mean, it's easy to figure out. Just call somebody from the Netflix community, pay them some money, they'll do it for you.
I'd like to take this time to also address Vince, if you're listening, there's something I would like to say or even ask you for. Vince, even I don't know that wrestling is different today than it was a few years ago, and a decade ago, and 20 years ago. And sometimes not every idea that you take from them works today. But there's one idea, Vince, that I need you to bring back. I need you, with all in honesty, with all sincerity, and with my heart open and bare to you, Vince, I need you to bring back Man Mountain Rock. Because nothing in this world would make me happier than to see a slightly overweight, dreadlocked, long-haired, bearded man in a tie-dye shirt play an unplugged guitar in the middle of the ring, cutting a guitar solo on live national TV.
Dude, stop.
Please, man.
Stop.
Please,
stop. 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 Hold on. All of that. All of that, and that's what you asked for.
And nothing wrong.
You wasted the moment you had with Vince McMahon.
Man. Oh, no, I'm going to ask him for all that stuff. See, no,
why is that not the moment for the damn ice cream bar?
No, because they've already tried the ice cream bar. They had a better platform. It didn't work.
I know. How does that not work?
No, listen, if I had, I know, I could talk about the Mountie. I want the Mountie back. I could talk about the blue ring that was one piece with the action figures and the table. That was awesome back in the, with the spring-loaded figures. Those were sweet. Bring that chick back. But I'm thinking about, really, if he was listening and I and he tuned in right at that moment, he would hear me say Man Mountain Rock, and he'd be like, God damn it, pal. Yes. And that's what Kevin Steen, if Kevin Steen comes out with a Man Mountain Rock gimmick in a couple of weeks, we know Vince listens to the show, and that's what we'll start saying.
That's a revelation right there, buddy.
Yeah, Kevin Steen, Man Mountain Rock. Think about that. Kevin Owens.
Well, yeah, let's move on.
Thing to move on to. I think we should take a last commercial break before we do this Royal Rumble thing, folks. We want you to call in because this is going to be, some shit is going to fly. Some things are going to be said. Do you feel the same way? Do you not? Call us and tell us about it because you know the call-in number. Be a part of the live chat because it's Ringside View, wrestling podcast, best seat in the house.
Chat.
Chat, not chat. We'll be back right after this.
Thanks, Jackie. Chet Chasterson here. Very, very honored to be back on the Apocalypse Nana Show. Super glad to be live on the air.
Hello. Fernando here
again
to tell you about the latest and greatest of the services brought to you by my company, the Escuela Preparation Company. We have now realized what you, the consumer, most crave in an apocalyptic scenario. You crave companionship. You crave someone to hold you, someone to care for you, someone to keep you warm, someone to keep you safe. Now, Escuela Preparation Company is very proud to bring to you this very service. A service we have titled Fernando, for now and for eternity. With Fernando, for now and for eternity, you can request that Fernando, a man who was once a boy from the small village of Pedos Mejivos, come to your home and spend the night with you. We may eat. We may laugh, we may talk, we may find our bodies intertwined, positions unknown, minds lost into the dark abyss of the love. Where you begin and where Fernando ends, no one may ever truly know. With Fernando, from here, for now, and for eternity, Fernando may be with you for the night. And if it should happen that the apocalypse or the end of days would occur while Fernando has you wrapped in a strong yet gentle embrace, then Fernando will be yours for eternity. What could be more appealing than finding yourself wrapped, held, needing, wanting Fernando, needing Fernando, seeing Fernando with your eyes, kissing him with your lips, again seeing him with your eyes, needing him with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your very soul, to wake up every day and to need Fernando. That is what Fernando and the Escuela Preparation Company are ready to do for you. So when it is dark, when you are cold, when you feel lonely, call on Fernando, and you may just get lucky, and Fernando may be your Fernando forever.
He sounds like an arch nemesis.
I think so. I think he's somebody's arch nemesis.
He's my arch nemesis.
Is he? There you go. Drew and Fernando fighting on a tree.
F-I-G-H-T-I-N-G.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. Have you ever noticed, everybody, this is our first ever officially rated R episode.
Yeah, so, yeah, we were told that, you know, ceremoniously, I was going to say unceremoniously, but it was quite ceremonious. There was a letter said, you know, bump
it. It was a nice letter.
It was a good, it was a letterhead and everything. And it just said, hey, you know, you should bump that to the rated R. So we did. So thank you for passing the age verification requirement, all you listeners. Everyone lighting up a live chat right now. Thank you. And being part of the show, you know, the show for, that's not listening to the podcast while you drive your kids to soccer. This is for after they go to bed and you sneak downstairs and you pour a little scotch into the glass. You add a little bit of water, just a little bit of water, take some of the edge off. You sit down and you fire up the iPad just after you finish fapping. We're the podcast to listen to.
You know that excuse that you tell your wife that you can't have sex because you've got important things to do downstairs? Well, we're really that excuse.
Yeah, well, we're the thing after that.
Or, you know, we're what your wife is listening to.
While you're defapping.
While you're
defapping. You should, but, you know, how funny and awesome would that be, listener? If after you get done, like, polishing the knob, or
you realize she's calling your knob to us.
Yeah, or slapping your cyrus, as we like to say for the ladies. That's my new term, by the way. Make it popular. Slapping your cyrus. And then after you're done doing that and you're listening to us, how awesome it would be if while you're sneaking away to listen to us, your significant other is glad you're gone because then they can listen to us too. But you'll never know.
And that reminds me.
You'll never know. And when the marriage falls apart and you're living in an apartment and you only have to see the kids like twice a month if you're lucky, and you're just like sitting there wondering why it all went to hell. It wasn't us. And if you had just told each other that you're listening to the podcast, your marriage could have been saved. So that's a lesson to all our listeners. And that could be you.
Don't forget, ladies, if you're trying to picture our sexiness to the voices that you're hearing, we are 6'3" and Samoan.
And very Samoan.
Cut from head to toe.
I mean, literally, I got bandages on some parts of me. I'm cut so bad. You know?
Yeah.
That's
it.
That's really what it is. Okay, so moving on, ladies and gentlemen, the hot buzz of both the internet wrestling community and the angry internet wrestling community is the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. I mean, let's be honest, that's why you stuck along so well. You want to know how we really feel. We find out how Melvin feels, and we know how a lot of you feel. Of course, we're finding out during a live chat how even more of you feel, which is always, you know, constructive, and thank you for all your feedback, folks, but we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble pay-per-view itself. We can't get into the bread and the meat and potatoes of it without having the bread and butter, and the bread and butter of that card would, as we find out, the triple threat world title match, Cena, Lesnar, Rollins. Hell of a thing. End up being a hell of a thing, better than what you expected, Drew?
Yeah, the triple threat match was definitely, every match leading up to the Rumble was pretty freaking solid match.
Yeah, even the tag match turned into something good.
Yeah, all good matches. The triple threat match, though, it took a different approach than I expected.
Yeah.
I just actually thought for the first, 5 minutes at least, that Brock Lesnar was literally just going to destroy those two men.
Yeah, they were going to go with that psychology.
Yeah.
That was a nonstop match, I think. They just kept going and going and going. The only real break that I think that occurred was after the elbow drop spot.
Yeah, I mean, Seth Rollins went in there and played the role perfectly.
Seth Rollins, you think he officially has arrived as main eventer in WWE? Does that legitimize
I think he did. I really think the minimal interference by J&J Security helped with that.
Yeah.
It was there, though.
They were there for the spot.
It's good heel. Psychology there. But I mean, that being said, I mean, how many times did we see Brock Lesnar versus John Cena? And you know, and how many times how many different ways has that match played out? And then you add this in there
and it turns up the volume.
Absolutely.
Do you think Seth Rollins at this point in his career resembles Triple H just previous to his first world title run? Do you think he's around there? Do you think he's further or a little bit? Go back. Triple H post DX turn. If you look at it, will history see that Triple H's turn on DX is a lot like Seth Rollins' turn on the Shield, and that inevitably ran to a main event heel run. There are similarities there.
Yes.
Do you think he's there? Do you think he's in a different place?
It's hard because I have to go back and remember the Triple H rise, but I mean, it is very similar. I never really thought about it that way until right now at this moment, but it is a very similar rise. I think it may be a little more genuine.
Taking longer. First, certainly.
But it's been a slow build. It by no means has it been like, we want to make him a weasel, then turn him into a main eventer, which is kind of what they did with Triple H. With Triple H, they didn't mind letting him like squash people.
Well, they didn't in a way. He turned on Diaz at WrestleMania, joins the corporation, and uses the corporation's lackeys in his feud with DX, and he was the world champion the night after that SummerSlam. So 5 months later, he's the world champion. You know, Pin Foley on Raw. Seth Rollins turns on the Shield, and 2 months later is Money in the Bank holder. He's not the champion yet, coming up on 8-9 months after his heel turn. But he was in a world title match officially for the first time, and I delivered, really, the Phoenix Splash was cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good match. I mean, but, you know.
Lesnar, it really made Lesnar look, it didn't make him look any weaker. You thought there was an out right there. They wrote themselves to get the belt off Lesnar and not make him look any weaker, but they kept it on him. So, but of course.
They put him through the ringer, though.
Yeah, they did, man.
They did make him look a little more mortal.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that you take it to that guy enough, it's going to be good, but he still won. Mm-hmm. So
speaking of,
I'm still not mortal enough.
Still won. So that brings us, folks, drum roll please, to the Royal Rumble match. Thank you. So let's just start off with a good. It doesn't turn sour until about halfway, for some people, or the story doesn't really kick in until about halfway. But hey. Returning to the WWE in the number 3 position. First of all, we wondered why Miz and R-Truth were number 1 and number 2, but it became very apparent when number 3 came out. Bubba Ray Dudley, Bully Ray, makes his return to the WWE.
Definitely not expected.
No, Philadelphia, great, great idea. Great spot to have him come back.
What's up with that?
That's awesome. I mean, we've all talked about how great getting Bully a singles run, and even the Dudley boys back. We talked on the show about Dudley Boy's ascension being where they should try, but who knows what damage has been done to the ascension. The Dudley Boys, so Bubba Ray could really do wonders as a heel there when they sorely need really good heat-grabbing heels. He could nail it. I mean, you just have him come out, have him try dinner
more than he ever was.
You know, Devon doesn't need to come back. If you don't want to do that, have him try different partners and have him turn on one eventually and feud with that one. I think a Bubba Ray Dudley as that rising the card heel, you know, in this bully persona, going against a Ziggler with Ziggler bumping all over the place would be awesome. Just having a pick on him and beating the hell out of him and Ziggler pull out the win or something like that would be awesome. It'd be amazing. I mean, I kind of got a feud with a New Day while they're still baby faces. Something to think about there. So,
there's a lot of options, dude.
Yeah, but Bully Ray comes back.
Imagine him just doing the freaking 3D with Randy Orton.
Oh, that'd be ridiculous.
Randy Orton just doing the freaking RKO.
Doing the cutter. Yeah.
I'm throwing it out there. Take it.
Vince, if you're listening,
there's a spot right there. Have it.
Well, there you go. So Bully came back, Bubba Ray Dudley. Surprise return to Diamond Dallas Page. Was there?
That wasn't a surprise to me.
No, well, we talked about it on the show last week.
I mean, like, it was actually something that
we were hoping for. Yeah, and we got ourselves a diamond cutter. It was pretty sweet, pretty fun.
Showed up at the perfect time. I mean, like, even though you know I may have expected him, it didn't. It still gave me
still awesome. Yeah. Good pop for DDP. Good pop for all the returning guys, including the last one. Funny Boogeyman. Came back and they played off of the that was their idea of Supernatural in 2010, 2009. Oh, excuse me, 2006. That was their idea of Supernatural in 2006. And then he took on their idea of Supernatural
about eating freaking worms.
Yeah,
man.
But now their idea of Supernatural in 2014 is a little bit different and Bray Wyatt, but it was a nice little funny idea of the past, what Bray Wyatt could have turned into, had somebody not had good idea. Because that's like, hey, buddy, you could have been eating worms with your voodoo shtick. But you weren't. So good for that.
Bray Wyatt pwned him.
All right, so, yeah, Bray Wyatt pwned him. Bray Wyatt booked a little strong. Came out number three, right? Yeah?
Four,
because number three was. Number three was Bubba Ray Dudley.
And much like everybody else, he eventually got dog.
Yeah. When, number 10 was Daniel Bryan. Came out. I would pick to win the Royal Rumble. And by number 15, he was eliminated by Bray Wyatt, which drew immediate boos from the Philadelphia crowd.
All right. Stop there. D-Bry gets eliminated. We're pissed. In the living room of Pittsburgh, just like
surprise,
but Bray Wyatt threw him out. Okay, wait, D-Bry's out. What else could come? There's still so many options. Continue, though.
Okay, so a couple guys later, out comes Roman Reigns. The crowd's still not happy about the situation, knowing that it's almost like, okay, so Daniel Bryan's not. Get him in the Royal Rumble. So the people that wanted it to happen are going to boo, right? You didn't quite lose him yet, but you expected that reaction. Like, absolutely, they expected that reaction when he eliminated. And you're hoping that he's going to transfer on Bray Wyatt, right? And let's say for the sake of argument that it did, right? For the time being. Having Reigns come out so soon without something else to immediately cleanse their palate, right? Three guys after Bryan was eliminated. Reminded them of what just happened, right?
Right.
And now you're just like, oh, they're like, Daniel Bryan, there's nothing, and they're all still talking about it. Everyone in that crowd, people in living rooms all across the country and the world are all talking about it, and then Reigns comes on. You're like, oh, fucking course this guy, right? That's at least I put myself in a mind that, that some people were in during that show. So now you're like, oh, shit. So now you didn't have a chance to take that away from them,
right?
That's just an idea, right? So now your Reigns is out there, and now damage can actually be done to the match, right? Because now they're still pissed. So now you got to do something. So let's not forget, Dean Ambrose comes out, and people were actually so worked up about it that they almost forgot Ambrose was still in the match. And he came out. And eventually you have Dolph Ziggler get a very good reaction as well.
Yes.
I mean, and even Force Ryback to get a good reaction.
Yeah, actually.
Right, yeah, you know, right, because it's just like, Jesus, anybody. Doing the same thing that happened last Royal Rumble. And then with that opportunity that they had.
Although, I have to say one thing. In Pittsburgh, we would have settled at the very end with Roman Reigns as being part of that crowd. However, we weren't really going to settle for anything other than Daniel Bryan last year.
I do
believe, though, in Philadelphia, that had it been Dean Ambrose or even Dolph Ziggler, one of those two going the distance, that the crowd would have been very accepting.
I agreed. I disagree with your statement about only Daniel Bryan in Pittsburgh. I think going back to that,
I think
the crowd didn't officially get
CM Punk. Yes,
that was the moment where, like, the point of no return, which we'll talk about coming up here in this thing, the point of no return in Pittsburgh was when Punk got eliminated, because they would have still cheered if Punk would have won the Rumble, right?
Right.
It's because that was the guy, but they didn't, and that was the point of no return. There was nothing they could have done, really, to salvage it. Reigns would have got a pop there just because, right? But it was, you know, Reigns was the ultimate point of no return, but Punk was that point. The point that they, you know, they had a lot of opportunities there to change the crowd's mind with all that talent in that ring. And then they proceeded, and some feel unnecessarily, but effectively. So at that point, Kane and Big Show, who came out number 29, just after Dolph Ziggler, who was 30, got his, you know, big fire spot in. They started double teaming, hitting tag team finishers and hitting their signatures, and then double teaming guys and dumping them out quite unceremonious, right? You know, the heat magnet. But what it did was, instead of what they tried to go for, which is, wow, these guys are devastating, and look at how much of a prick Big Show and Kane are, it was presented by the crowd live and by people, because it's like, okay, well, here's everybody else besides Roman Reigns, right, that's more over than Roman Reigns, including the guy you made look super strong for most of the match, Bray Wyatt, right, dumped out on San Francisco. So here's everybody more over than Roman Reigns, and they're tossed liberally over the top.
Right.
So at that point, now you've got the crowd, there's almost nothing you can do. almost nothing you could do. And eventually, nothing is what they did. And they lost the crowd completely. Reigns, the two monsters, even like, so they dump it out, and the monsters don't, he doesn't even get a chance to stop them from doing that to him. They fight amongst themselves before they get a chance to get to Roman Reigns. And then they almost eliminate themselves, and Reigns, sloppily to a certain extent, dumps them over the top rope.
Yeah, he just pretty much is the, as they put it on the internet, help them fall out.
Yes. So not even did you not,
again, I mean,
so what was the point of the dumping people over the top ropes if not to have Reigns show that he's so resilient that he was the one to escape it? That's where it was the actual booking.
It should have been like the end of the Royal Rumble with him and Batista last year, but him and like Dean Ambrose. It should have been him and Ambrose.
You would have lost the crowd there again. I think there's
yes and no, but I mean, like, it would. I think that they could have had a more back and forth moment. You know what I mean? Or like even Roman Reigns and Kane, right? I think that would have been a safe out, because if you would have had him with Roman Reigns and Kane, and they're going back and forth, and there's a chance that the Authority could take this win, right? People are gonna not want the Authority to win.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They would have had to try to back up Roman Reigns a little bit, and it would have softened something.
I thought, talking about hindsight booking, which we'll do a little bit over this Rumble match, they had a 10-second spot, and it was mostly for Titus O'Neil's elimination, where Reigns and Ambrose were working together in the Rumble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they were allied. I think if you save that, first of all, I think if you take that Big Show dumping people over in the match earlier, and you make that 10 spots earlier in the Rumble, right? And have Reigns, let's say after, maybe make that part of Daniel Bryan, Reigns comes in and eliminates them for doing that. That's your chance to get the crowd back, or anything like that. I think if you had Reigns save Ambrose or something, try to transfer some of that shine on where people are like, okay, Reigns is not an asshole. Then Ambrose gets accidentally eliminated or gets dumped over the top ropes. You still transferred some of that shit. Didn't happen at all. And then after the Kane and Big Show eliminated, you think the Rumble's over, even the bell rings, which was weird. Rusev's not quite eliminated yet, but before then, the Big Show and Kane slide back in the ring and start laying a beat down to Roman Reigns. At this point, The Rock comes back. If you smell, helps Roman Reigns knock the two out. Rusev slides in, trying to capitalize, gets a spear, and gets tossed for this issue, building everyone's hopes up for a second, and transferring that same instance where it happened to Reigns last year, that everyone immediately hoped Rusev was going to win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I don't think it's exactly how they planned it.
No.
I think they, you know, somewhat, as far as booking goes, I mean, somewhat, I mean, it's kind of an understatement. Mm-hmm. I think going into it, I don't think there's much about, you know, there's hindsight booking, but then there's also what seemed pretty clear to what I thought was most of the wrestling fan community, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people who aren't involved with WWE that have been in the business for a long time have said that the clear answer was Daniel Bryan. Period. All right. Now, I'm not going to completely go out and say that what they did was stupid, because there's reasons for everything.
Absolutely.
And there's a reason that they booked that way. And who's to know? Last year proved anything. You never know what's going to happen in the next 6 years.
Yes, and we're critiquing the execution of it mostly, not the general idea of the direction.
It comes down to the fact that they did it last year. What was obvious going in, they just kind of neglected. Same thing this year. I don't think Roman Reigns was ready this year personally, but you know what? There's a lot of guys you could say that probably weren't ready with that when they handed the ball off. So that's the thing. How about Edge winning the Money in the Bank? I don't think he was ready when he did it.
It was interesting at WrestleMania. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, interesting. I mean, that's
interesting. Let me ask you this question, because I have an answer as well, but I want to hear what you. All right. Let's say hindsight booking. That Royal Rumble match, you can change one thing that happens. Just one. To try to salvage it. And it can't be the outcome, okay? One thing to salvage it, what would you do? Can you think of one instance where you would change something to make the match completely different? Is it the way Dean Bryan is eliminated? Is it the way Reigns eliminates Kane Bishop? What is that one moment that you would change to try to get it? If you were hindsight trying to save his cards,
Excuse me. It's tough. You know, I think it's in the last, like, 5 minutes that we just talked about it, that you're very careful, you know, I want to say that having Bray Wyatt go the distance just to get thrown out by Roman Reigns would have been a good outcome. You know, big face person, you know, big heel, or who's supposed to be a big face, throwing away a big heel. With that being said,
the crowd would have
They would have jumped on Wyatt. Anybody who was up and coming that wasn't Roman Reigns, because here's the thing, everybody knew last year Roman Reigns was probably going to be the guy this year, and then everybody was behind him, and he goes away, comes back, all of a sudden we lost our faith because he didn't carry the same punch, you know.
Yeah.
Then when he before he left, and that's really what it is. We had second thoughts, and the WWE was like still on. As soon as Daniel Bryan was like, "I'm back," the universe got thrown off.
Well, yeah, because
should have seen.
I think, well, we could say, and I said, didn't progress as quickly as they needed him to be at this point, and the fans pick up on it. At least the hardcore fans.
If I would have done anything different,
one thing differently,
I would have that it, other than you know trying if I not caring about a safe out on who Roman Reigns throws off at the end.
Yeah,
I would have sent Daniel Bryan through all the way. I would have had him be the guy that Roman Reigns eliminated at the end of the card.
Interesting.
And here's the reason why. My reasoning is being because if Daniel Bryan, who the fans were behind since the moment he came out and said, "I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble," the universe turned. They were just like, who cares about anybody else who won D. Bryan again? He should be the guy. So they back him up, and he goes all the way through from number 10 to number 30, and it's him and Roman Reigns. Who's a little bit fresher than Daniel Bryan is, and just got all the big guys out. And then you just have a moment, you know what I mean, where the crowd's just so, Daniel Bryan, and he gets eliminated, okay? But how you save face is Daniel Bryan, because he's this upstanding guy, gets in the ring.
Shakes his hand.
And everybody kind of, like, has that, like, moment, like, and he's sitting with fucking Roman Reigns, doing the yes chant. Come on. Like,
I mean, absolutely.
That would have... there you go. There's me.
Mine is not far off.
Okay.
But undisputedly, if I could go back in time and or hindsight time and tell Vince McMahon, if he's not going to change anything but one thing that he could have done to save everything he did, if he didn't make one fucking alteration to the whole thing, the only thing he would have done is that when Kane and Big Show are fucking beating the shit out of Roman Reigns, instead of cueing the Rock's music, you cue Daniel Bryan's music. And Daniel Bryan comes out and makes the damn save. And people won't care. Then immediately, that's what they wanted. He makes the save. And then Reigns eliminates Rusev. And Daniel Bryan, yes, chance with him. And you fucking, that's how you do it. That's all you do. To me, it's like the simplest answer to that question. But The Rock came out. And you know what? I never, ever thought I'd see a crowd shit on The Rock again. But the crowd shat on The Rock again. And The Rock was perplexed by it.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to deal well whenever the crowd doesn't do what he thinks it's going to do. Here's the deal, Rock. I don't know. I'm pretty sure you don't listen to our show, but if you are.
Rock, if you're listening.
I know you are the great one. You are the people's champion. I'm sorry, buddy, but not anymore. The going away and coming back is not for this generation. You know, that it's not what they want. They want what we had when we were watching you. They want consistency. They want people who deserve to be in the limelight every week, not overshadowed. That's just how it is now. So you're going to get turned on when you come into situations like that. Roman Reigns said it best. And you got to respect how he said about the reaction. It's cookie cutter. And John Cena, he even quoted John Cena, said, cheer or boo, the crowd's going to say what they want to say. It doesn't faze them at all. And I believe that. You know, not to quote him, but I believe that Roman Reigns thinks that it was what it was. He won. It's not going to bother him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's how he plays it off.
Didn't really matter. I mean, at the end of the day, they were going to go with that. They were going to go with that direction no matter what they did. So it's just going to be fun. So afterward, right, of course, internet wrestling community goes completely AWOL. And, you know, there's people enjoyed it and a lot of people didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely
mixed reaction, but mostly negative towards that result.
Yes. So even to the point where hashtag cancel WWE Network was trending on Twitter. It was one of the most trending things in the U.S. and internationally over the next day and a half. Now, I also, so you're thinking, okay, so with a negative reaction live at the Royal Rumble, a negative reaction on the internet community of the Royal Rumble, in the WWE, then had the unfortunate displeasure of the state of Connecticut issuing a travel ban for Monday night, which meant that Monday Night Raw, live in from Hartford, Connecticut, was canceled, postponed. It will now be SmackDown on Thursday. So in the stream of events, you think WWE is in an interesting, perhaps even unfortunate situation. And then, after an interesting Raw, which is, you know, live from the WWE headquarters, as they would emanate from, which was pretty much only sit-down interviews and match replays.
Did they do the live Triple H podcast, too, with Stone Cold?
No, that's next week.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's after Raw next week. After that, on the next day, they announced that the WWE Network has hit 1 million subscribers. Internationally and domestically. 1 million subscribers. So the stock price, which hit a 52-week low on Friday, hit a 52-week high on Tuesday.
So
question, going into today.
Question.
Real quick, what the hell? Okay, your turn.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting how that plays out.
Yes.
So you, my question is, do you think it's because of the Royal Rumble outcome?
No. What I think is they knew about this for a while. They tallied up. I don't think that there's an official concrete evidence on it, and I think if there is, then they've had it in their pocket for a while. It didn't just come in on Monday morning. You know what I mean? Or Tuesday morning. It didn't just come in. They sat on it, and when they saw the backlash that the Royal Rumble was, it was a move strictly for investors. And what investors, now remember, you think WWE stock was near $30 at WrestleMania last year. And they banked it on trying to get a million for WrestleMania, and it didn't. And they lost a lot of money, like, really quickly due to the stock price tumbling. And it's not quite super recovered. In fact, it's fallen down some. And this is just a mild recovery to what it was even after the WrestleMania decline. But that was the goal. And they pocketed it for a moment now. Like if it's damage control for investors. I sincerely believe, and I'll say it right here on the podcast, Vince, if you're listening, you can correct me if I'm fucking wrong, but I believe that they had this information for a while in front of them, and they waited until a strategic moment. They were going to wait until it was icing on the cake, maybe even WrestleMania time,
to
announce it and do a
They were going to use it for after the Rumble, I think, regardless, though, with that theory. Because let's say the crowd reacted the opposite. It's behind Roman Reigns winning.
All of a sudden,
WWE hits 1 million subscribers.
Was it Roman Reigns then?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So they were waiting for the right moment, and this happened to be the best moment for damage control for them. And so I think we'll see what – and I think had it been – I'll even be as bold to say that had the Royal Rumble not been – the negative reaction to the Royal Rumble was covered by mainstream press. Had it not been, and they announced – even if it was just okay show, people didn't react too negatively to it. Had they announced the network subscriber, I think the stock would have jumped higher. It didn't jump as high as it should have on the 1 million subscriber because of the negative network thing. So I still think there was an impact there. But it wasn't in the way that everyone's like, oh, shit, what's going to happen now? Because you got to think, how on earth can WWE ever, you as an internet fan or anyone ever see them? It seems like no matter what they do, no matter how many Max Moons or Mae Young gives birth to hands or Katie Vicks, or John Cena beats 40 men in a 40-on-1 handicap match with both arms tied behind his back. No matter how many events like that they do, things that just make you shake your head, they never, ever seem to pay for it. And the only real way that they ever do pay for it or absolutely see it is their stock price, because that's their money. So if they – and that's what they're worth. So the only way that for WWE to ever think that they're not doing a great job is to see that their stock is not worth what they want it to be worth. Not as high. And this was – without that move, I think you would have seen that. But they have 1 million subscribers, and you get $2 on a share.
You know, one thing, though, you can't be mad. I'll never be mad at the fans like some people are, though, about this whole situation when it comes to, you know, how they felt about it. Because That should be who controls the show.
There were trolls on both sides, man. I think on both sides.
Definitely. It's kind of like when CM Punk quit. There were trolls on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, interesting comparison. You know, I think it was interesting because the Royal Rumble controversy bled right into the Punk controversy. You know what I mean? Like, the internet was abuzz about it. So now I think it's interesting that the network announcement is the big follow-up story to the Royal Rumble controversy. So it's interesting how they're trying to direct their coverage, WWE would, if you will. But the two big items coming out of the Blizzard Raw, as we're calling it, the Raw that almost wasn't, is that the main event at Fastlane, we thought they were going to wait for WrestleMania to pull the trigger, but the main event is Rusev and Cena.
No.
We talked about it on the show.
No.
So no finish?
No. No, it can't be. Can't have a finish. You're going to have that match, and you're going to have it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so.
Or do they want Rusev to go over on Cena?
And Cena get a rematch or
something. Cena, that lessens.
Why would Rusev give him a rematch if he already beats him? Yeah. So I think you do it to maybe Rusev doesn't break the accolade, and they disqualify him.
I think that might be a good call.
Something along those lines. Keep Cena strong, but make Rusev still a threat going into WrestleMania. And that's what you're going to do. You know, I thought they were going to, if they were smart, they might have waited even a year to pull the trigger, but you would have had Bill Rusev
just
up on
the thinking of the new shirt that John Cena is going to wear.
Well, the American shit all over it. Oh, dude, it's going to be brutal. Whatever you think it is, it's going to be 10 times worse.
So here's my question. Are you going to tune into SmackDown on Thursday? Because I am.
Yeah. I have a DVR.
Here's the thing. Everybody, if you're not typically a SmackDown watcher.
Which half of you aren't, statistically.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. But they get my rating because I DVR that shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just saying, at least contribute that way. I don't ever watch because I read the results early. But this week, there are no results because it is live. Live from Connecticut, where Raw was supposed to happen. And if you have not watched SmackDown in a while, tune in because I'm willing to bet a lot of the stuff that was planned for Raw is going to be on SmackDown.
Yeah, it should be really interesting. There's a casket match they announced for SmackDown, too, with Daniel Bryan and Kane. So we'll see. Interesting. Hopefully they'll bury that feud.
So,
along with
if I'm a big wrestling match again, D-Bray?
No. I mean, that would be awesome, but no, but you want to take her to go over. You don't want to feed Daniel Bryan to him. No, Wyatt. I mean, Wyatt's the best call. You do some interesting television there. You know, that you in the theatrics alone will sell the match. So, Taker versus the Fireflies. Right?
Or you could just give him an easy out and put him against Kane. And have that whole, like, what are you doing?
Well, no, you want it to be as safe as possible, really.
You're wearing a fucking suit.
And anybody lighter, anybody out that's not Bray Wyatt, you want him to be lighter than Bray Wyatt. Because you want him to bump it.
Well, because it's just the fifth time they would fight at WrestleMania. Yeah, but you can make it personal. Because Kane's in a suit now.
No, see, whoever's in there is going to have to bump around the Undertaker. Absolutely, period. Because if not, it's going to be a boring match. So Kane's not the guy to do it. Sorry to burst the bubble.
Oh.
You can do the big.
I was thinking Undertaker's wrestling this year. So.
No, well, he's going to do Sting next year, and 105,000 people. They're both going to get on that card for that match. So keep them in as good a condition for that match as possible, and then send them both off into the sunset. Speaking of Sting, the other highlight coming out of Raw, besides Raw itself, was that there's going to be a face-to-face confrontation, Sting and Triple H, essentially to build to their match at WrestleMania. They'll probably make it official at that show. And that's what they want you to see. Thoughts?
If they don't interact sooner. But we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. As for all that, I've got nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, next week we're going to talk about Fastlane, I'm sure. We'll talk about the SmackDown and the Raw. So it should be two big WWE shows. We're going to keep our ear out for any GFW word, anything else to bring you there. As far as their TV coverage, we invite you to check out all your local independent wrestling, wherever you listen to this across the world. I guarantee that unless you're listening to this in Mongolia, that there is an independent wrestling organization that you can go out and go see somewhere close to you.
Why wouldn't there be one in Mongolia?
Because in Mongolia, they don't play games. They pick and keeps.
Maybe it's just not scripted and it's called deathmatch, but it's in the form of professional wrestling.
I don't know. I think that's the thing. Viewers, listeners, chatters, If you have any idea about Mongolian professional wrestling, please enlighten us. We would like to know going into next week.
Do you think the their heel does the walls of Jericho?
Ha! They get pissed. No one can stop it. That's fine.
You can't make this off. We can't make this off at all.
And so everyone's named Khan because they're all related to Genghis Khan. It's all a blood feud among Mongolian pro wrestling. Anyway, yeah, we're going to get out of here, folks. We appreciate you being part of the show, calling in once again. We'll see you next week. Remember to like us on Facebook. Tell your friends to like us on Facebook. True, what's that website address one more time?
www.worldwideweb.ringsideview.com. I'm sorry. No, I got
Jesus, dude, botch.
Botch, you lady, 147,000. www.ringsideviewwrestling.com.
Why are you going to put the www?
Because I'm a classy bro.
Dude, no, it's 2014. Nobody needs to, everyone knows. Just it's ringsideviewwrestling.com, folks. That's where you can go and check out all the past episodes. We're always posting things that we feel like you need to see. Like, folks, the Bret Eating Deathmatch. Check it out. If you like wrestling, if you like seeing things with your eyes, you will enjoy the Bret Eating Deathmatch. And we got a link posted to it on ringsideviewwrestling.com. So we appreciate you joining us. It's been a wonderful show. We'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Drew, anything else to add?
I love you guys, all you guys, the people who are inside. I'd love to be inside every time.
So that's it. RingsideViewWrestling.com, Ringside View Wrestling Podcast. Podcast with the best seat in the house.
Ever
armbar.
Japanese armbar.
Moss covered three handled family credenza.
Armbar.
Peace out, everybody. We're out of here. Do